All right, we're going to get started this morning. Would you stand to your feet one more time before we, as we read the opening passage? I started this about ecclesia, and we're going to continue in this. So it's Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 21. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us every single day as we open up your word and as we meditate upon your word today. I ask, Lord, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truth of who you are, and that we would come to know more about who you are and who you have called us to be. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be reseated. You know, we've been talking about ecclesia, the church. The church is the embodiment of the kingdom of God here on earth. I'm going to say that again. The church is the embodiment of the kingdom of God here on earth. When Christ came to earth, he declared that the kingdom of God has come. He said, "It is near to you." Jesus told his disciples, "The kingdom of God is within you." What is a kingdom? Kingdom is a compound word. It's two words combined as one. The two words of king and domain. That's to say that a kingdom can be described as all of the territory within a king's domain. The word domain means complete and absolute ownership of land, a territory over which dominion is exercised. Dominion is the domain, a supreme authority, absolute ownership, government. So when I think about the word king, I automatically think of a throne. And when I think of a throne, I think of authority. When I think of authority, I think of government. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. We generally read this during Christmas, but this is what it says: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his," what? "Of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." When Jesus came to earth, he came as the embodiment of the kingdom of God. Before he ascended into heaven, he gave two final instructions. One, he said, "All authority is mine." And then he said, "So go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." And the second thing he said was, "Wait in Jerusalem until you have received power to be my witnesses. You know, oftentimes we get caught up in narratives. I don't know if you've ever done that where you're half listening. We miss the context. We get excited, so we get distracted. We're like little children only half listening to their parents. I don't know if any of your kids ever do that to you. Or if you do that to your spouse, don't raise your hand. Don't poke your person next to you. You can just hear them now. Mom says, "We're going to get ice cream to give to the children at the orphanage." The child hears, "We're going to get ice cream." She immediately starts dancing around in a circle and shouting, "We're going to get ice cream, we're going to get ice cream." In reality, this is exactly what we do. Jesus said, "You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth." We hear, "You will receive power." We immediately start dancing, singing, "I've got the power." Jesus says, "All authority has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." We hear that Jesus gave us authority to make people like me. If you don't walk and talk and look like me and think like me, then you're going to go to hell. I've got the power. What we miss is the mandate. We miss the purpose. So we fail to complete the mission. When I say to you that the church is the embodiment of the kingdom of God on this earth, what goes through your mind? I've been authorized and deputized. Oh, baby, look out. Kingdom of God is in the house. I got the power. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. Jesus, we're stepping into the life of Jesus, a day in Jesus' life, and this is what it says. It says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at my home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said to him, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" The thing that amazed Jesus about this centurion is that he got what the disciples of Christ and all of the Israelites to that date had yet to understand. Think about that. The centurion said, "I am under authority, and therefore I have authority." Family, we need to get this. The vast majority of us spend our lives powerless because we refuse to place ourselves under authority. One day you wake up asking yourself, "Why are my children so rebellious? Why are my finances in ruin? Why are my health in, is my health in shambles? Why is my family falling apart? Why is my mental state, my emotional state, my physical state in a point of meltdown? Why is everything broken around me? Why do I feel powerless?" Because I'm not under authority. I remember as a child, I hate lima beans. And my father loved them. And my mother would serve up his favorite dish, was vermicelli with lima beans. And that was, you know, with olive oil on it, a little bit of salt. And so we would get this on a semi-regular basis. And I absolutely could not stand lima beans. And so every time that it was served, I would find myself sitting at the table. And everybody else was finished eating, and I was being obstinate and would not eat. And I found that everybody else would finish their food and begin to enjoy dessert. And I would say, "Mom, I want dessert." And she would just smile at me and look at me and go, "Okay, finish your supper and you can have dessert. Finish your supper and you can have dessert." I was left out of the dessert while everybody else was enjoying because I was not under authority. There was a rule in our house that you don't complain about mama's cooking. You don't ever complain about mama's cooking. And whatever hits the table, that's what's for dinner. And you smile and you eat it. And the last thing that better come out of your mouth is, "I don't like this," or "This is not good," or "I don't want this." That better never come out of your mouth. And being the hard-headed child that I was, I remember several times that I was sent to my room without supper because I had to open up my big mouth and say something. And then I would hear the family enjoying themselves, whether they were watching TV or playing some kind of a game or singing songs together, while I was stuck in my room, hungry, because I had opened up my big mouth and said something that I should have not said. I was not under authority, and therefore I was missing out on the blessing. Is this starting to make sense? Some of you might be thinking, "Well, why are my finances a mess?" Well, there's rules about finances. Don't spend more than you make. If you need more, make more. If you don't work, you don't eat. Those who are lazy, not diligent, will always lack. Honor the Lord with your tithe, the first of all of your increase. Put God first. If we stay under authority, we will be blessed. Why is my health in shambles? There are rules about health. Now, aside from getting old, okay, I'm not talking about old age. I just want to clarify that. There are rules that govern us. Eat healthy. Don't be a glutton. Everything in moderation. Exercise is a benefit. The Apostle Paul actually said that. Exercise is a benefit to the body. Be disciplined. Have self-control. Man, it's quiet in here. I hate to break it to you, but if your life consists of Starbucks, energy drinks, Diet Cokes, candy bars, and junk food, sooner or later, you will hit a brick wall. You're killing yourself. Yeah, you wonder why you're always getting sick and have no energy. I once read a statement that shook me to my core and still haunts me to this day because of the tragic truth that it is. And it is this. It says, "When given the choice between change or death, the vast majority of humanity will choose death." Good pastor friend with many years of experience once told me he's always surprised when people actually do the right thing. Why is it so difficult for us to understand and follow this truth? Why do we struggle with authority? Why do we rebel? Proverbs 15, verse 5 says, "Only a fool despises a parent's discipline, Whoever learns from correction is wise. And 1 Samuel chapter 15, 23 says, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he's rejected you." The Bible describes our unwillingness to be under authority as either foolishness or rebellion. When you think about it, there are some differences. Rebellion is blatant disobedience. Blatant disobedience. It's knowing what to do and refusing to do it. It's complete rejection of authority. That's rebellion. Foolishness is a lack of self-control. It's ignorance and arrogance combined. Foolishness is the glorious display of confident incompetence. A fool is a person who refuses to learn from instruction. The only way that they ever change is by getting beat up by the hard knocks of life. Even then, as the song says, some fools never learn. Parents, please listen to me. Teach your children to honor authority. Teach them to respect everyone. Teach them to be humble and teachable. Teach them to accept discipline, even when they don't understand or think that it's fair. Life is not fair. Teach them to follow the rules. Make them do what you say. Hello? Make them do what you say. Don't let them always get what they want. Don't let them argue with you. Don't let them talk back to you or any authority. Don't raise dictators. You are the authority. Now listen, you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to get mad or lose your temper. You don't have to scream and yell. You don't have to beat your children. You just have to be the adults. I can just hear somebody saying right now, adulting. Ugh. You have to be the parent. You have to consistently keep them under authority. When they start talking back or arguing, just smile at them. Smile at them. It'll either freak them out or they'll just be totally confused. They start talking back, you just say, "Guess what?" The big smile on your face. "You just lost your phone for a week." "Oh, you want to keep talking? Okay. You just lost all of your electronic devices privileges." "Oh, you have more to say? Great." Now you get to memorize 10 Bible verses about honoring your authority. Just in case you need a creative list, age appropriate, come and see me after service. I have a ton of ideas. Here's a secret. Get ready. Are you ready? Your children watch how you treat your spouse. They listen to how you talk about authority. They pick up on your attitudes. They will mimic your behavior. Say ouch or amen. Or just sit there. All right. I just want my child to be able to express themselves. I want them to be their own person. I don't want to be cruel and make them eat things or do things that they don't like. I just want to be their friend. I want them to like me. I want them to choose what is right for them. I want them to do that. I'm just here to support them on their journey of self-discovery. Your children don't know what's right for them. They don't know what is best for them. They're clueless. The cruelest thing that you can do for your child is to not teach them to honor and respect authority. If you don't discipline your child, you're setting them up for failure. Be a parent. Be a parent. What was the saying about the military? The military made a man out of me. The military made a woman out of me. Why? Does the military have some kind of magic power? No. The military teaches discipline. That's it. Discipline. Self-discipline. Y'all can take a deep breath. I'm done with it. Well, kind of. Self-discipline is choosing to live your life under authority. It is adhering to the guiding principles that have been given to you by God. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. This, believe it or not, this message is not about child raising. So you might be asking yourself, well, why is this important? What does this have to do, Pastor Josh, with ecclesia? Thought we were talking about the body of Christ. Think about that word picture again. We are the body of Christ. Whose body are we? We're the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the what? Head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is, in all things he may have the preeminence. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the body, the church. If we, the church, are the body of Christ, then who is in charge? Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body. We are the body of Christ. He is in charge. He's in charge. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Just as in the natural, you did not get to choose your eye color, your hair color, your original hair color, your height, your skin color, your gender, at least your biological one, your personality, or any other detail of your being. So it is in the body of Christ. You don't choose your function, your rank, your position, your gifting, your talent, your place. God has put each of us together just as he sees fit. He has given us gifts of grace and placed us exactly where he wants us to be. You can't get jealous. Why don't I have that? I mean, you could. You could complain. Well, that's not fair. You can argue with God. Why? You can rebel. I'm not going to do it. Nope, not going to do it. Ultimately, you will discover that the only power that you have is the power to do the will of the Father. Your authority is not yours. The authority that you carry is directly connected to the function of your place and position within the body of Christ. All authority belongs to who? To Jesus. Jesus said, all power has been given to me. All power is His. When you are under the authority of Christ, you have authority. When you surrender yourself to God, you are empowered to do His will. I want us to read the opening passage again. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, that is also charity. Do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The church, the ecclesia, is called the body of Christ. We are called to walk in the authority and the power of Christ. When I look at the church today as a whole, I don't see the body of Christ. Can I just be honest? And I'm not talking about just here, like I said, as a whole. I just want you to think about this with me. I see a powerless church without authority. I see fighting. I see bickering, manipulation, deceit. I see self-promotion and envy and jealousy. I see anger and hatred and bitterness. I see people offended and hurt. I see people full of pride and arrogance. I see a church that is undisciplined and lazy. They have no self-control. I see foolishness and rebellion. Worst of all, I see self-righteous religiosity or hypocrisy. Am I wrong? We can cry out for revival all that we want. We can long for God's glory to be revealed. But until we learn to live as the body of Christ under His authority, we will never fully realize the power of His presence in our midst. The ecclesia, the church, The body of Christ is called to be the embodiment of the kingdom of God here on earth. The church should carry and operate in the full weight of the authority and power of Christ. But we will only experience this when we learn to live as the body of Christ. This requires two things. Live fully surrendered to the authority of Christ in your life. Live fully surrendered to the authority of Christ in your life. And the second is, love one another in the love of Christ. That's it. Live fully surrendered to the authority of Christ in your life, and to love one another in the love of Christ. The time has come for us to put aside all of our quarreling, our bickering, our divisions, our manipulation, and for us to begin to live as one body, the body of Christ. The time has come for us to love one another as Christ has loved us. As we're coming to a close, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you have a pen or paper and paper, or if you have your phone, I want you to get ready to write something down. Go ahead and get that right now. If you have your phone or if you have a pen and paper, I want you to write something down. Will you do this with me? You don't even know what it is yet, but just okay. All right, great. Right now, I want you to write down the names of the people who have hurt you or offended you. It shouldn't be hard. You know, as soon as I say people that have hurt you or offended you, the name is right there in your mind. Write it down. Tell your spouse to stop looking at your list. She might be on there. He might be on there. Some of you might have a longer list than others. As you are compiling this list, this is what I want us to do. And there may be more names that come to your mind as you go throughout the week and as you have your time in prayer. I would ask for you to commit for the next week, next 7 days, I want you to commit to pray for these people on your list every day. Will you do that? Pray for the people on your list every day. And this is what I want you to ask God. God, help me to forgive them. God, help me to forgive them. Every day this week, I want you to say out loud, God, I forgive the so-and-so, the name of that person, for what they've done. Be specific. I forgive this person for what they've done. I want you to do it every day for the next 7 days. And then, I want you to take it a step further. And I want you to pray a prayer of blessing over them. Pray a prayer of blessing over them. I want you to do this for the next 7 days. At the end of those 7 days, I want you to find a way to bless them, if it's possible. Find a way to bless them. You could send them a card, you could send them a gift card, you could send them a text, you could send them flowers. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, that's what you are to do. But you need to bless them. Here's what you are not to do. You ready? Thanks for your honesty. You are not to say one word to that person talking about how they hurt you. Not one word to this person about how they hurt you or offended you. Okay? All right. Now, in 7 days, if you get 20 cards from people in the church, you should probably do some self-assessment. Can we do this? Will you commit to this? There's three of you that will commit to this. Will you commit to this? Thank you. All right. Now, in closing, I want to bring this home. You're like, what? Yes, we're going to bring it home. If I can have somebody come to the piano. What about your life? Do you feel powerless? Are you overwhelmed? Stressed out? Out of strength? Are you tired of pouring yourself into things that bring no satisfaction? Do you feel like every step that you take forward is two steps back? Have you given all of your strength, all of your energy, all of your determination to your marriage, to your family, to your career, only to watch it come apart? Do you feel like for as much as you thought that you knew what to do, you always find yourself at a dead end? Are you tired of running? Are you tired of fighting? Tired of trying? Have you contemplated taking the easy way out and ending it all? Listen to me. There is hope. You don't have to fight. You don't have to run. Stop doing it your way. Surrender to God's authority. Let His power transform your life. Come under His authority. And let His strength carry you. I want the prayer team here at the front. If you're tired of the fight and you're ready to surrender to God's authority, come to the altar. Come to the altar. The Bible declares, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you need salvation, if you need freedom, if you need deliverance, if you need healing, you just need prayer, come to the altar. I want you to do this because I believe that the Lord told me that this is going to be a symbolic posture of surrender. That's what it means to come to the altar. I am coming to the altar to surrender to your authority. That's what we're doing. If you need prayer, come to the altar and let it be a symbol of you saying, God, I am yielding, I am surrendering to your authority. In Jesus' name. Come on, family, can you just stand to your feet right where you are? And if anyone would come, let's come now. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your presence that is in this place. Thank you for your love that is here. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you're not willing to let us stay as we are. You are desiring, you're reaching out this morning in love, in compassion, Lord, because you hear our hearts. You hear our hearts. Lord, you know that you need to touch our lives. You know that we need you. And so, Lord, we symbolically choose to surrender to you today. We surrender our cares. We surrender our hurt. We surrender our pain. We surrender all of the infirmities, the sickness. We surrender every lie that the enemy has spoken into our lives. We surrender the things that have held us bound and captive. We surrender to you, Jesus. We surrender to you. We give it all to you. And we choose to yield to your authority and to your power. And we thank you, Lord, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of restoration. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day where you take your rightful place upon the throne of our hearts, and we take our rightful place under the headship of Christ as your body, as your church, as your children. Father, we yield to you. We yield to your authority. We thank you for this healing. In Jesus' name, for each and every person that is here today, I just pray right now a healing anointing to flow, to touch each and every one of these. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing a supernatural work of your Spirit. We declare it to be so. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, will you say amen? Amen. Father, I thank you. Lord, I pray that you would bless these, your children. I pray that you would bless your church, that you would unify us as your body. Make us one, Lord. Make us one, even as you are one. May we learn to walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit as we stay surrendered to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that we are walking in your authority. In Jesus' name.